classes. So we have been doing these for a handful of years now. We do these to kind of explore and teach things outside of Sunday morning, kind of practical theology things that we wouldn't necessarily talk about on Sunday morning. And this round is going to be a little bit different than usual, which you probably already know and can figure out with all the stuff on your table. What we're going to do is be doing a little bit of Bible work, talking about the theology of creativity, and a bit of hands-on work as we explore the topic of creativity. So just to be specific, there are three things that I want to accomplish throughout this series. Andrew. All right. First, we're going to be developing a biblical concept of creativity. What does the Bible say about it? Now, some people don't even like think, well, does the Bible talk about creativity? Absolutely, it does. And so we're going to get into the Bible and say, what does the Bible actually have to teach us about creativity? Second thing we're going to do is look at the role that creativity plays in life. Why is this important at all? Some people tend to think of art as kind of that thing, and creativity is like, oh, it's this frivolous thing that's nice to kind of work in when you have free time. We have the important things in life, the practical things, and then, hey, if you have time, that's not the way the Bible talks about it. And so we're going to talk about what role creativity actually plays in our lives. And then number three, we'll be doing a few different exercises to strengthen the right side of the brain, and we'll talk about that a bit more. Now, this topic is especially meaningful to me, because way back when I was in high school trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life, I had this tension between the practical and the imaginative, right? So I loved art, like all aspects of art. I loved film, I loved music, I loved literature, I loved painting, right? I had a passion for all of these things. The problem is, I've always been far more gifted on the analytical side of things, right? So I tested really well in like maths and sciences. I never really excelled in art in the way that I wished that I had. And so this eventually led me into architecture because it's kind of a balance of the two. So in architecture, you definitely have the mathematical side, but you also are able to kind of bring creativity in. So I could combine my passions and my strengths. But before I went to architecture school, I actually took a year off. And what I did is I went to culinary arts school. So bringing, again, a practical thing, food, we all have to eat, and figuring out how do you bring creativity into that. Then I went to architecture school. The school that I went to was based on the Bauhaus. Now, most people probably only know the Bauhaus as a font that you find already installed on your computer. But it was a German art school, and it was really kind of where a lot of what is now super popular, the mid-century modern stuff. It was kind of the influence for a lot of that furniture, a lot of that stuff. But when I say the school that I went to was kind of based on the Bauhaus, what that means is they looked at design and kind of technology and creativity all as needing to be intertwined. And so what that meant for the school was that when we were taking classes, it wasn't like the architecture students do this and the painting students do this and the ceramics people are over here and the drawing people are over here, but we all took classes together. So for the first 2 years of schooling, I was lumped in with all of the other art students, and we got to kind of do lots of different types of mediums and kind of explore all of these different things. And the hope was that it would then build collaboration because you'd be side by side with people who were also designing but in very different ways. And so we studied together for the first few years. Now, what this meant for me was, first of all, being massively humbled. Right? Because you might be like one of the better drawers in your school, but when you go to college with people who are like specializing in art, all of a sudden you're looking over going, oh my word, that person knows what they are doing. But I also then got to try all sorts of different mediums, and it's really fun when you're doing painting and you're kind of like trying to figure something out, and the person next to you has like been painting for a long time, you can kind of go, can you help me out a little bit? And so I got to explore these things with people who were kind of all doing this. And so that kind of helped me to grow in my own creativity. Now, along with this, the school that I went to was a Christian college. And so we were studying art from a Christian perspective. So we were constantly asking the question, what does it mean to be a Christian artist? What does it mean? How is that different? Right? I have been saved by Jesus. What does that mean for how I create and how I design? And so rustling through that, I was introduced to all sorts of different writers and artists who were thinking about these things. And I'm now going to bring some of those authors and things into this class to share them with you. And so this time period for me was very transformative, right? College is for a lot of people, but specifically for me, this kind of shaped how I think about the world, how I think about our place in the world. And so, as I said, I'm very excited to be able to share it. So I want us to be a church that is both aware of the role that creativity and the creative process plays in our lives, and a people who are equipped to interact with creativity in the world around us in a healthy way. So what we're hoping to do in this class as we work through these things is to be confronted with creativity in such a way that we now know what it means to be creators and also to interact with the creativity around us. Today, then, is going to be an introduction, and we're going to start by simply defining what creativity is. And so I pulled a couple of different definitions about what creativity is from a few different places. First, creativity is an act, idea, or product that changes an existing domain or that transforms an existing domain into a new one. Another definition, creativity is the ability to transcend traditional ways of thinking or acting and to develop new and original ideas, methods, or objects. Or creativity is a phenomenon whereby something somehow new and somehow valuable is formed. And so these three definitions kind of focus specifically on different parts of what creativity is. The first is about kind of transcendence. It's about coming into a new domain. It kind of focuses on the internal part of creativity, the creativity that comes out of us, the part of us that is making. The second definition focuses on the change, right? The creativity kind of pushing something forward and making something new. It views creativity as an active force. The third definition is about the thing that is created, right? It's about the product. What is the end result of what we create? And so I'd say it's the three of those things together that define what creativity is, right? Creativity is an idea with a process that leads to a result. Now, different people tend to put stress on different parts of what creativity is. Some people are all about the idea, right? It's kind of bringing you to a new way of thinking and understanding. It's why people will pay thousands of dollars for a banana taped to a wall, right? I came home the other day, my kids were studying that, and they had taped all different fruits and vegetables from our house to the wall. They were like, $5,000, $10,000. I was like, nobody's paying for that. Right? Others focus on the process, right? There's a podcast called Song Exploder for those of you who are musicians. Yeah. Right? And what it does is it goes through kind of a song that you know that you love, and the artist goes through the process that it took to create that song. And so the focus of the creativity is on kind of the journey, all the work that had to be done to get there. For others, creativity is entirely defined by the finished product, right? Creativity is the painting. Creativity is the thing that you buy and put up. It's the result of the work. Now, I was thinking about this kind of how people put different stress on different pieces when I was watching the Steve Jobs movie. Don't know why, but there's a part in the movie, though, where the two co-founders of Apple, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, are arguing. They're arguing about kind of what is the most important part of their company and who deserves credit for what is going on. And really what they're doing is they're having a conversation about what part of creativity is actually the most important. Right? Steve Jobs represents the idea. That's kind of what he was. He was the visionary. He was the guy who could sell anything. He was the one who came up with the concept. Steve Wozniak is an electrical engineer. He is a computer programmer. He's a nerd. A wonderful, wonderfully creative nerd. And so he's really kind of focused on the process and the result. It was the computer that he had made and all of the guys that were on his team who he had watched do all of these creative things to get here. And so at one point, Steve Wozniak turns to Steve Jobs and he just says to him, "What do you even do?" Right? Because he's watching all these guys do all these creative things, solve these problems, figure out how to make things happen. And he's like, "All you do is talk." And at the same time, Jobs is downplaying these people all the time. And he's going, yeah, I can find other people to do this stuff. The idea is the biggest part. But the thing about it is, if you know anything about how this all works together, Apple Macintosh doesn't get created without both a Steve Jobs and a Steve Wozniak, right? You need all of these parts together to ever really create something great. You will not experience excellence unless you have creativity at all of these levels. The other part of this is how you define and understand these three parts of creativity is going to affect how you interact with the creation that we live in and the creator who is at the helm. If you focus on God primarily as the idea behind creation, it will lead to a deistic view of God. Right? God created, it was wonderful and creative, and then he set it out there to do what it's going to do. If you focus on merely the process, the journey, then you're focused on the here and now. You're always in the moment. You're always trying to kind of make heaven now. And if you only focus on the result, this is kind of this speed bump to eternity thing, you're not paying attention to all that's going on right now because you're just going, at the end we get to go to heaven and all of the pain and suffering is done away with. So as we study through the theology of creativity, we're going to be looking at all three of these parts of the creative process in relation to God. We're going to see how God has an idea, works it out in process, and what the ultimate result is going to be. And as we do this, it'll help us to better understand our role in this world as created creators. Now we're going to get more into that next week. For now, the first thing that I want us to understand about creativity is that it's thorough and complete. It's all levels of this, I'm trying to not say process, but I'm going to say it anyway, process. It's not merely a step in the making, it is every part. The second thing I want to focus on in relation to creativity is that it is varied. I like this definition from Psychology Today. Says an act of creativity can be grand and inspiring, such as creating a beautiful painting or designing an innovative new product, but an idea need not be artistic or world-changing to count as creative. Life requires daily acts of ingenuity and novel workarounds. In this sense, almost everyone possesses some amount of creativity. When people are asked to think about creativity, describe creativity, they tend to think of the arts, they tend to think of technological achievements, and those certainly fit the bill. But creativity is not limited to those times when we have a very obvious, big, grand result. Instead, as we see, every act of decision-making, every act of problem-solving requires some amount of creativity. Without creativity, people would not be able to function at all. They would just sit there staring at a wall. They wouldn't know kind of how to move forward and get anywhere. So everyone has some form of creativity, but it tends to look different from person to person. And the best way that I can think to describe this is to use my children as examples, which they're going to love because they are here. when I taught this class before, I taught it in a place where there was no one who knew my kids, so it was sort of easy. Jack, I'm going to talk about you, and you're right there. Sorry. So I'm going to compare my two oldest children. You guys know them. Henry and Jack. So my oldest son, Henry, and Jack are creative in different ways. Jack is much more creative in what would commonly be thought of as creative. He draws. He comes up with things. He designs cross stitches for some reason. Right? He just kind of thinks, I want to do this, and he goes and he makes it. And he always is making kind of these pieces of artwork. Now Henry has always felt like he was not creative because he compares himself in life to Jack. So when you have Jack sitting there, it's he just go, I'm not creative. But I try to always convince him that he is very creative, it just doesn't look the same. And I recognized an aspect of Henry's creativity whenever I see him play soccer. Because I played sports and I was not creative. I was, again, very analytical, standing there knowing what I should do, but I didn't have kind of the creative flair that makes someone really good. See, on the soccer field, you have to make all these split-second decisions. You have to kind of react to what's going on. You have to anticipate what other people are going to do, what the defender is going to do, what your own teammate is going to do, when you should make a run for the goal, when you should, just all of that stuff. None of it's scripted. It all requires just kind of, you know, kind of thinking, okay, what is going to work to solve this problem? It requires creativity. So much so that if you watch any soccer, the nicknames in soccer are things like the maestro or the magician, right? They imply that there's this level of creativity that is required. Now, the end of Henry's creativity is not a picture. It's not something to hang on the wall. It ends up being a goal or an assist or something like that. It's in a different form. But that doesn't make it less creative. It just makes it different. Now, if you take that idea and we look at our lives, then we start to see there are all these levels of creativity that we are given the option of, that we are confronted with constantly in our day. How are we going to rearrange the furniture to fit the chair that we just bought? How are we going to get the kids to go to sleep tonight? What are we having for dinner? Right? All of these questions require a creative solution. Right? When my car breaks down, I call someone to come help me fix it. But what amazes me about the people who tend to help me come fix it is not that they know how engines work. That's fine. People can read books and figure that out. What actually amazes me is the way that they diagnose what is wrong. Because everybody who works on cars does it differently. They're spraying stuff in and pulling things off and like, now start it, now hit the gas. All of that requires a certain amount, not just of knowing how it works, but also kind of going, how are we going to figure out exactly what the problem is? In this, then, creativity is all around us. Sometimes we just need to learn how to look for it. Every one of us is both creative and also the recipient of other people's creativity all the time. Now, as much as I've just universalized creativity and kind of made it everything, I want to kind of pull back a little bit. It is true that creativity comes more easily to some people than others. I mentioned my two sons. For Jack, it just kind of pours out of him. He doesn't try to be creative. He doesn't think about being creative. It just kind of is, it's right there all the time. For Henry, yes, oozes? Ooh. Yeah. For Henry, thinking outside the box takes a little bit more work. Some of this is solved by kind of finding your niche, right? Finding the thing where your creativity fits. Understanding yourself and where you fit creatively actually does help you to express yourself a little bit better. Again, if you know Henry, you know he has taken up drumming. The reason why drumming works really well for Henry is because it's got a structure. It's got rules. It's got a system. If you put him up there and go, be creative, he would be like, right? But if you're kind of like, here's a song, what we need is a beat for this song, you've already learned the principles of drumming, now he can express his creativity within those parameters. That works for him and how his brain functions. There are art forms that are hugely loose, right? Where it's just kind of like you really have to be able to express yourself confidently. There's others that kind of a lot of it is confined and you have a lot more of the pieces already there. Some of shaping your creative ability is finding the medium and place where your skill set fits best. And hopefully as we explore different mediums in this class, you can kind of find something that might fit better. But it isn't all about personality and inherent traits. Creativity is also a learned skill. The second half of the definition that I gave earlier says this. Research shows that creative thinking involves making new connections between the different regions of the brain, which is accomplished by cultivating divergent thinking skills and deliberately exposing oneself to new experiences and to learning. While some people are more naturally right or left brain, it's not a fixed system that never changes. Right? God made our brains elastic. They can change. We can form new pathways that rewire our brains. And what this means is that in the same way that you can exercise your muscles and get stronger and be able to do things you couldn't do before, you can exercise your brain by doing creative work. Now, this not only strengthens the creative parts of your brain, but it actually creates new neural pathways so that the right and left side of your brain are now communicating with one another. It starts to overlap things that previously were kind of separated. So this is what we're going to do in just a few minutes and throughout the series. We're going to do some kind of things that hopefully will rewire our brains and create new neural pathways. We're going to use creative exercises to open us up and see the world more completely. And that's how I want to think of this, is it's not just thinking differently. It's thinking more completely. See, one way to view the diversity of the world is to think that God has just kind of made things so complex, so different, so that he kind of hits everyone along the way, right? So he has things that engineers understand, and he has things that poets understand, and because God speaks all of these different languages, everyone is able to hear what he is saying. But another way to think of it is that in perfection, we actually have the tools to kind of receive all of these different ways that God is speaking and communicating. That we're able to feel and sense and absorb all of it. And the reason we can't right now is because we are broken. Because God didn't just make things systematic and ordered for the engineers and beautiful and poetic for the artists. He created a world that speaks to our right brain, that speaks to our left brain, and that speaks to all the parts in between. And part of the way that we can see and appreciate the creation around us, including other people, is to allow creativity to reshape us. And so that's what the hope for this class is, that we are reshaped and changed as a result of doing this work. So I'm going to end there for today. Next week, we'll get into Genesis 1, the story of creation. We're going to explore how God creates and what that means for our creative action. But at this point, I'm going to hand it over to Sharon, who's going to give us some direction on and teach us hand lettering and calligraphy, things that I don't know how to do at all.